Benjamin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for making the time.
So to kick off, your essay actually begins speaking about Tyrone Unsworth, the 13-year-old who really tragically took his own life in November last year. It's a really, really heavy topic. Why did you decide to begin on that note?
Because I wanted to show what was at stake. I mean, as much as this quarterly essay is about safe schools, and when people think of safe schools, they think of some program that's whipping children into learning about lesbians, gays, and transgender people. Oh my. What I really wanted to start on was, one, why I was writing this essay in the first place, and two, something that's been lost in all this conversation, that the Safe Schools Initiative exists to protect children like Tyrone Unsworth, and that the government and that schools and that adults in the community have been failing young queer people and have failed queer young people to the point where one of them, as you say, at the end of last year, killed himself. I mean, this is a 13-year-old kid, and I say kid because he'd only just turned 13, and the idea of someone that young taking their own life, it still gets to me.
And so the current marriage equality debate, it is absolutely raging at the moment, front and centre for, you know, pretty much everyone with a television in Australia. What impact do you think that this is potentially having on other kids out there like Tyrone?
Well, I think when adults look at the same-sex marriage postal vox pop, whatever you want to call it, whatever we're spending $122 million of taxpayer money on, I think we know the political machinations that have gone into making this a reality. We know that there could be a free vote in Parliament. Young people don't know that. What they know, they don't know the political nuance. All they understand is that Australian adults are about to go to the polls somehow and vote on whether same-sex couples should be married. So if there's a yes, out of that, that would be a hugely monumental thing for young children to see the news that the majority of Australian adults think that gay Australians are equal to everyone else. And this isn't just a thing for young queer kids. This is also a thing for young straight kids as well. It will equip them in terms of when their friends come out to them as gay or trans or bisexual or intersex. When it comes down to it, right now what we've got is kind of a publicity exercise in a way. This postal survey is non-binding. There's no guarantees of how it will work, whatever the result that comes through. So if it's all about optics, I think it's really important to make sure those optics are the best possible for young people.
Now, you did mention safe schools before. I just wanted to jump on that. You spoke about it a lot in your essay as part of a possible solution to the kind of bullying that kids with different sexualities or gender identities do face. And you describe the kind of really aggressive opposition that safe schools has faced as well. We've seen it recently. Safe schools was used out of the No campaign as kind of any overwhelming thing situation.
It doesn't surprise me. I think safe schools has become a really handy battleground to wage a much bigger culture war that's been going on against gays for decades in this country. You know, we've been behind a lot of the other Western English-speaking developed nations for a really long time when it comes to same-sex rights. We might applaud ourselves that we've come so far. You know, we only decriminalized homosexuality in the 90s nationally, and now look at us, we're about to legalize same-sex marriage. The truth is Australia's a deeply conservative country in so many ways, and we are making progress, but the deeper veins of conservatism come from specific politicians. And even though Safe School started as this bipartisan kind of as a program with bipartisan support, it's really become this issue that people can use to kind of, you know, kick around people. It's this idea that adults are accessing your children to teach them about being gay, lesbian, transgender. First of all, that doesn't happen at all, but it is a really good platform to whip up a bit of moral panic.
And so one quote that really stuck with me at the beginning of one chapter was, conservatives know the ship has sailed when it comes to lesbians, gays and bisexuals in Australia, regarding the fact that homophobia doesn't fly in middle Australia as much as it has historically. If that's true, how do you see this feeding into the current marriage equality debate that's happening?
Well, I think for a long time, Australia, in the last decade, has become a country where we don't where we don't condone naked homophobia. I mean, to be even called a homophobe seems to be a far more grievous offence than homophobia itself for some reason. But I think that homophobia is still very much in our country and manifests in different ways. For instance, as I say in the essay, we've been a country that for a very long time has the majority of Australians supporting same-sex marriage. We live in a country where the majority of Australian Christians support same-sex marriage. And as of the last essential poll, we also live in a country where the majority, a slim majority, of coalition conservative voters also support marriage equality at 51%. So the community overwhelmingly supports marriage equality. That doesn't mean that homophobia goes away, and I'm sure a lot of those supporters of marriage equality wouldn't say they're homophobes and wouldn't be by a lot of standard definitions. But do you have anxieties about your children coming out as gay? Maybe. A lot of people would probably say yes. How do you feel about the idea of transgender adults? How do you feel about the idea of a gay or transgender teacher? That's when we really need to start interrogating what we really feel about our queer brothers and sisters in Australia.
And I just want to jump on that point about, you know, a gay or transgender teacher. I suppose, do you think then that perhaps being transgender is the new gay, in the sense that maybe homophobia, blatant homophobia, won't fly with middle Australia, but increasingly it seems like transphobia still does?
Yeah, and one of the arguments that I push in the essay is that, you know, we've had moral panic about gays and lesbians, but that seems to have passed. We don't believe that gay people are pedophiles anymore, for instance. I mean, some people do when they're in Parliament, but most of us don't. But there is a lot of anxiety about the idea of transgender people and transgender children especially. And when you think about it, even for open-minded, reasonable adults, the idea of trans kids really braids together our anxieties. Young people, you know, we don't want to see young people hurt or surgically interfered with unnecessarily. And that's what we think about sometimes when we think of trans young people. We don't want, you know, adults influencing people's young people's gender or sexuality untowardly. And that's what we think about when we think of trans people. So what I've done with the quarterly essay, Moral Panic 101, is I've really tried to step back, talk to a lot of gender experts that don't have a political allegiance or agenda. I talk to young trans people themselves and look at medical case studies. So I've spent a lot of time reading medical research about where we are with trans kids. And when it comes down to it, it's not that scary. I want to be able to equip people to have this conversation properly, because unless you actually know the facts, you're not going to be able to have a proper conversation in good faith.
Now, Ben, you're speaking with David Marr about this essay tomorrow as part of the Writers' Festival.
Yeah, tomorrow night at the Seymour Centre.
Yes, very excited about that. Is there anything you can tell us, or is it all under wraps thus far?
No, I can tell you a lot. So, look, tomorrow night, Wednesday night at the Seymour Centre, and you can find the details just by Googling Sydney Writers' Festival, Benjamin Law, David Marr. It'll come up straight away. Tomorrow night, we're just going to be talking about the entire essay. And it's really, really great to be talking to David Marr specifically, because he was a great inspiration for writing Moral Panic 101, because he's kind of spent, when you think about it, a lot of his career looking forensically at moral panics in this country, whether it's moral panics about refugees or Indigenous people or drug users or even the queer community as well. He's kind of been this fantastic journalist and documentarian of this country's kind of moments of seizure, where we really freak out about things that probably don't need to be freaked out about. I mean, I've been joking to people that the other working titles for this quarterly essay was, well, what the hell was that all about? Or we all need to just calm the freak down. That couldn't fit on the front cover. But this is another kind of case study, similar to the work that David Marr does, I think, about trying to take a step back and looking at the facts without freaking out so quickly, like Helen Lovejoy from The Simpsons.
There's a visual.
Yeah.
Won't someone think of the children? Well, we'll pop all the links up in the podcast so people can find it. Benjamin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for making the time. That was fun.